Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News with your host, Bravo and Botox, here to bring you some pretty good news this week, actually, because the Roni trailer premiered, there's Vanderpump Rules news, there's Valley, there's a lot. There's some things that, you know, we haven't had a lot of in a while, like, you know, we haven't had, like, good Vanderpump Rules and Valley news in a while. So I'm excited for this week. I'm excited to talk a little bit about some Roni drama. And there's some good Dubai news too. So there's, you know, some things that we don't get every week, which is kind of fun. All right. So before we get into it, I just want to remind you all, because I haven't said this in a while, if you could please, please, please rate, review, and subscribe and share. You know, if you're enjoying this podcast, you can share it to your Instagram story or send it to a friend or tell someone, you know, whoever you think might like it or you could share it with. It would be greatly appreciated. You know, if you share it on social media, tag me and I'll tag me at the Bravo Papers and I will share your share on my Instagram. And, you know, spread the word, a 5-star rating, a nice review always helps my algorithm and progress and helps the podcast grow. And it is greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. So thank you all so much for being listeners and for being here and for any assistance that you might give me when it comes to that kind of stuff. All right. So let's get into it. I'm going to start with Vanderpump Rules and The Valley. To me, they're kind of like the same when it comes to the news because they're interrelated with the cast. Listen, we got to talk about the fact that Sheena got bit by a horse. It is not the biggest news story today, but it's funny. So she was, I just have to get it out of my system. Okay. So she's in England and she got nipped by a Kingsguard horse. And they have like the sign there that's like, you know, the horses, like, beware, the horses may bite, like something like that. And of course, it's just so funny because Sheena like has to get the social media picture. Like Sheena is so obsessed with social media and like her online presence. She's constantly taking pictures. You know, she's got her vlog. She's like the last human in the world who's doing a vlog. She's got like, you know, I'm being sarcastic, obviously, but she's constantly like posing. She's got to get her angle, you know. So she goes up to get her picture with the horse and she's got to do her little pose. And then the horse just turns around and nips her on the arm. Listen, I'll give her this. She recovers quickly because a horse bite can really fucking hurt. But she's just like, oh, and then just like kind of runs away and laughs. So I'll give Sheena that. But yeah, you know, that's it. Eventually, when you're thirsty always, you're going to get bit. So another piece of news is that Stassi Schroeder is joining Vanderpump Villa season 2 and has also landed her own reality show on Hulu, which is crazy. So I guess she's not canceled anymore. Is that... She was canceled, I thought, but I guess... She was in the sense of like, you know, being kicked off Vanderpump Rules. And for a while, she was kind of had to like lay low. But like, let's be honest, has she ever really been canceled? I guess she stopped her podcast for a little while, but then she brought it back and then she wrote a book. And I don't know. She's got like a pretty solid fandom, I think. And I think, you know, I don't think she was ever like, I think being canceled is something that people say can happen, but I don't know. Does it really happen? I think a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of celebrities can kind of recover, quote unquote, after a while. Or listen, one thing we've seen with Bravo is like, if you wait long enough, Bravo fans are fickle. Bravo fans will change their minds. Bravo fans will be like, hey, we're over it now, so let's go. You know, like look at Kristen Doty as well. So she's going to be, I guess, she's going to be sort of like co-hosting Vanderpump Villa, I think. Okay. Listen, this does not interest me. Vanderpump Villa does not interest me. I didn't watch it, but from what I've heard, it's a terrible show. It's very overproduced and fake. It just didn't interest me. Like, I just, even just by the previews and the promo stuff, it just looked so forced. And it just gave me like that kind of inauthentic, like trying too hard vibe, which I know a lot of the reality shows kind of do that nowadays, but this was like that on steroids. So I was just like, I just can't. And I'm just not interested in another like Lisa Vanderpump service industry type of show. I'm just not. It's just like, you know, it's like trying to recreate magic, like the magic of Vanderpump Rules. It's just not going to happen. It's just never going to happen. And listen, you know, I think the best way to kind of recreate or try to do a new version of that is with someone besides Lisa Vanderpump, like Dorinda. Like that I could see potentially working just because like Dorinda's so crazy. But I don't know. Like I still, like I'm not like against having Lisa Vanderpump on my screen. She's just not as entertaining as she used to be. She's just not. And I think like all her shticks have gotten a little old, and you know, the way she's kind of like defended Tom and just always on the wrong side of history with that kind of stuff. It's kind of like, you know. So the other part of this is that I guess Stassi is going to be like co-hosting. I don't know. Like, so I guess that's their way of maybe trying to bring in more viewers or liven the show up a bit, or maybe like, you know, give it more life and more popularity. I don't know if that's going to work. Like, I know Stassi definitely has a fan base, like I was saying. I don't know if it's going to, like, revive Vanderpump Villa. I have no idea. So she's also, but it's a choice, you know? It is a choice. Like, I guess Lisa and Stassi have always kind of been funny together. Like, they, you know, Lisa kind of ribs on her and, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe they think the dynamic is going to work. I don't think this is going to last. I just can't see this having, like, long-term success. So the other thing is that Stassi is going to have her own Hulu show, which is going to be called Stassi Says. So the only thing I really know about this is that it's a comedic half-hour docuseries, whatever the hell that means. So I don't know what that means, but I guess, I don't know. Who knows? Stassi Says. So I don't know. That kind of gives me the impression that, like, is she giving her point of view on, like, things that are going on in the world, like pop culture stuff, or is she giving people advice, or is she like gonna be like, I don't know, or is it just gonna be like a little half hour series about like her married life and life as a mom or something like that? It could be something like that. I don't know. So we shall see. Am I interested in watching it? I'm not like that interested in watching it. I guess I would if it came out, it aired for a while, and then everybody was like, it's so good, then maybe I'd be like, all right. But unless that happens, I'm not super interested. Now, Lala is also doing a two-part series on Amazon Live called Mama's Still Got It. Okay? Because let's be honest, Amazon Live is the only place that Lala can get a show because some people do not like her. It's going to be all about her pregnancy and, you know, what she eats and does and exercises and the challenges of being a mom and blah, blah, blah. Probably all the stuff that she thought she'd be sharing on the newest season of Vanderpump Rules. But, you know, since her and Sheena and the producers ruined the last season, it's now on pause. So sorry about that, Lala. you know, will I be watching that? Absolutely not. Like, why? There is nothing I find more boring than like Lala's pregnancy journey. Listen, the whole, you know, picking a sperm donor thing, that was like cute for a minute, like the little party she had where they talked about it. But, you know, and like her kid is cute. I'm sure the next one's going to be cute. I'm happy for her. But like, that's where it starts and ends. I got to be honest. Okay. All right. So what else do we have from Vanderpump Rules? Oh, yeah. So speaking of Lala, she, you know, continues to be the worst. And she was basically recently on a podcast and says, and she doubles down on how she lashed out at Ariana last season for not filming with Sandoval because she thinks Ariana, quote, threatened her well-being, the well-being of her daughter and how she provides for her. Listen, I don't know how many times we have to go over this, Lala. It is no one's responsibility to provide for your daughter except you. And if anybody got in the way of that, it was you. Because you acted like such a goddamn fool on the last season that now everybody hates you. You can't, your podcast ratings and stuff have gone down. People don't even want you on The Valley. Like, there was a time where people would have been okay with Lala coming on The Valley. And now people are like, no, get out of there. We don't want you there. The season has to take a longer pause than it normally would. I mean, I do think that's partly because of Ariana's schedule, but I do also think it's because the cast just needed a break and they needed to figure out what the hell they were going to do with this show because everybody was freaking out. But listen, Lala did this to herself, and that's all I'm going to say about that because I've said it a million times, and it's just wild to me. Like, sometimes I just can't wrap my head around how people can be so... just, I don't know, how they can be so closed off in terms of their thinking, like how you just really, even with like the whole world telling you, you still can't see and you still don't understand why your daughter's well-being is not Ariana's responsibility and why saying that as a quote and a soundbite is a bad idea. Like, I just, it's crazy. Like, is it too much Botox to the brain? I don't know. Like, I don't know what is going on. I don't know what is going on in Lala's head. I really can't understand it. But Lala is not the only one who's been doing interviews because Ariana was on Watch What Happens Live. I think that was just last night. And there's some clips floating around of some interesting things. One thing that's floating around is her talking about what she learned. And I think she said something along the lines of like, I'm more capable of doing things and just more capable in general than I thought I was. And a lot of people are loving that, including myself. But the other thing that was a little bit more juicy that we learned was that basically her relationship with Sheena, and I think we kind of assumed this, but it was just kind of like hearing it from her. But Andy asked about her relationship with Sheena and he asked, like, you know, basically, was it super damaged after the last season and reunion? And Ariana's like, yes. So the relationship was damaged. They have texted a bit. Ariana said basically the relationship is not where it was, you know, like it's not like in a quote unquote good place. But she said this in like a more political roundabout type of way. She also said, though, you know, there's a lot of love there and always will be because of like their history and their friendship. But, you know, it sounds like basically it's not going to go back to how it was. Okay, so they've had, you know, we've had memories, we've had love, but after the last season, like it's going to be pretty hard to ever go back to what they had. That was kind of the message that I got. The other thing that I thought was very interesting about this episode was she was on with Sarah from Real Housewives of Dubai. And they showed like there was like this clip of Andy asking Ariana about all her like entrances, her Love Island entrances and all her looks. So Ariana answers the question and she talks about like her and her stylist and whatever. And if you watch it and if you go back and watch it, Sarah is listening and kind of like looks the other way and rolls her eyes like while Ariana's talking about it. And I was like, What was that? Like, does she not like her? Or like, what is, I don't know. Listen, I can't stand Sarah from Dubai. She's terrible. So, you know, if she's annoyed by it, that's because she sucks and for no other reason. But go back and watch because it's there. And just very, I don't know, it was just weird to me. Unless I'm overanalyzing it and she's not really rolling her eyes, but I think she is. I really think she is. So another big thing that's been going on is that there's been this rumor floating around for a while that TomTom is officially going to be rebranded to Pump. So listen, this is just like a word on the street, street being the internet. But then Peter from Vanderpump Rules, who we all know, said, you know, kind of made this statement that that is what's happening. Now, at Taste of underscore reality said that they were in LA this weekend and noticed how out of the way the TomTom sign is. From across the street, it's completely obstructed by trees. If you didn't know it was there, you would completely miss it. The sign is up, but it's clear they aren't pouring any capital or care into the signage and marketing. Okay, so that's one thing. And there's been like a few people like on Reddit, like fans who've gone by said the same thing. The Pump sign is much more prominent. People, so, you know, people are saying that it's going to be rebranded to Pump. I wouldn't be surprised if it shuts down, but I don't, but maybe it's busy. I have no idea. So, you know, because if it's busy and if it's making profit, they're not going to just shut it down. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, rebranding it to Pump might might be an idea, right? And I think the other thing that's kind of floating around is that Lisa is going to buy Tom and Tom out, call it Pump, and get rid of them and call it a day, which I'm sure might be making the Toms shit their pants because that's almost like an omen. Like, it's like, okay, the end is coming. Like, the end of my career is coming. I've ruined it. Done. For both of them, but especially Tom Sandoval. At least Schwartz can blame Sandoval, but, well, I mean, he needs to blame himself too, but yeah. So there's also this news about Anne. So Anne, if you don't remember, was kind of like, I don't know, was Tom Sandoval's assistant and then sort of like worked with Ariana, et cetera, and interviewed for her. And she's been like seen at something about her. And everybody kind of thought Anne worked at something about her. I mean, I did. I think that she did work there, but I don't know what's going on. But basically, she posted on her Instagram story and she put it, she put this on her story and she's kind of calling out something about her, saying that her hours got cut. Okay. So she wrote, well, my hours got cut at the shop, so I have no choice but to have this succeed. Please vote for my podcast so that we can get host red ads and pay my rent. Thank you. And then she has like a link where you can vote, you know, about her podcast or whatever. And then a staff member, though, from Something About Her commented and said, Anne never really worked there. Which I could see that maybe Anne was like, maybe she was like, I could see like maybe Ariana and Katie paid her to like make appearances there. And to like, you know, just come in and like meet and greet and shake hands with people and stuff like that. But maybe she wasn't like on the schedule, like she's not like an official employee, right? And now she's just kind of like using this so that she could get people to vote for her podcast or get ads or whatever. I don't know. It's a weird move. Anne has made a lot of weird moves since getting popular and having her like 15 minutes of fame or whatever. So I don't know. I just get like a weird vibe from her. Like, I don't know. Something's off. Okay. Okay. So let's go on to the Valley because Brittany is calling out Jax in a very real and also hilarious way. So we thank her for that. She is absolutely lighting him up on social media. So basically, Jax posted this like Instagram story where he's asking people to go to his Cameo to buy cameos. And he's claiming that the money that he makes off of his cameos is going to charity. Okay. And then Britney goes on her Instagram story and she reposts the video of him. So I guess she screen recorded it. And in it, he's like, go to my cameo. All the money's going to charity. So she posts that. And then she writes on top of it, just realize Jax has this on his cameo. And it's disgusting because he hasn't donated a dime. FYI at Cameo. So she even tagged Cameo in it. I guess because he's making false claims. And I guess the video is on the Cameo website as well of him being like, just so you know, the proceeds go to charity, right? And then Kristen Doty also jumped on this and she shared it. So she just shared like Britney's share. So yeah, I guess Jax is, listen, do I believe Britney and Kristen? Of course I do. Because if anybody would use charity for a scam, it's Jax Taylor. Jax has no morals, no scruples. He's a pathological liar. He will lie about anything. Like Jax could be like Brooks one day when he's like 60, like lying about cancer just to get like attention or to make money in some way. Like Jax, there's no limit to how far Jax will go. That's why I am not jumping on the like, good for him for going to a mental health facility, because I don't even know if I believe that he's doing it. Like if there's anyone who would lie about it, it's Jax Taylor. Like it's just, I don't know. I just don't think he is a normal person. Okay, so last thing about the Valley is that Sheena and Lala have been filming for it, but I just want to clarify because a lot of people are like, you know, getting in a tizzy on social media about it, but they're not like on the cast. So I just want to say that up front. They are filming as like friends of, and I think it's just at like a party. Like I think one of the cast members had like a party and it was like a big one and they invited all their friends. And, you know, I guess these girls, by these girls, I mean Sheena and Lala are friends with some of the girls in the group. So yeah, so they're invited or whatever. But, you know, it's obvious that Sheena and Lala are still angling to get on this show eventually. And they're going to be trying, and they're going to be trying to win back viewers and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so that they can have a future. But listen, are we annoyed that they're there? Yeah, I don't want to see them. I'm fine with like them in small doses, like how they were on season one. They made like one appearance at like a group event or a party. I can deal with that as long as that's it. Okay. But what I don't need them to be friends of like to the level of like, you know, the friends of on like Real Housewives of Miami. Okay. I don't need them to be like Jen Fessler or why am I forgetting the names? Oh, Marisol and Kiki. Like, I don't need them to be at that level of friends of where they're like really involved in the show. I need them to be like, oh, look, we saw them for like a second, like how Sutton was on Real Housewives of Orange County. She was on it for like 3 minutes. That's good enough, you know? Oh, and speaking of Miami and Real Housewives of Miami, something that was floating around big time last week was that Marcus Jordan, who is now Larsa Pippen's ex-boyfriend, was photographed snorting a white powder during a poolside lunch in the south of France, smiling and having a great time. Okay, so obviously it looks like he's snorting coke, allegedly. But these pictures came out, his new girlfriend's with him, the one that kind of looks like Larsa, has like a similar sort of plastic surgery-ish, you know, pumped up lips kind of look. And, you know, a lot of people are making jokes about it and thinking it's going to be discussed on the next season of Miami, which I kind of hope it is. And then I posted a Twitter roundup about it, and it was mostly making jokes about like Larsa and him and whatever. And some people, you know, somebody was like, why is it Larsa's responsibility? They're broken up. It's not a da-da-da. It's not Larsa's responsibility. It's a joke. And anything that we can use to make fun of Larsa is good with me. The other thing is that people are talking about how, you know, Adriana's definitely going to bring this up and going to make it into a whole thing. Well, that means you were probably doing it too, Larsa. Like, I can just see, like, you can just, in my mind, I can imagine Adriana right now plotting and like bringing things up, and it's going to be hilarious. Listen, it's going to make for a good season, and we got to go after Larsa because she's terrible. Okay, so time for some Real Housewives of Orange County, a show that is having a fantastic season, so you should watch if you're not. And the newbie on the show is officially a newbie and officially a housewife because she has had her first headline where she's being sued. Is that not like a rite of passage in the housewives world? So Katie Janella is being sued for $5 million over stolen business idea. So basically the gist of the story is that she's being sued by Chad Ruskey for allegedly stealing his idea. So the story goes that he had this idea for some kind of like golf shot thing. And I think it's like you put alcohol in like something. I don't even know, guys. Listen, I'm not. Okay. A unique idea of a shot of alcohol contained in a golf ball shaped shot glass. The golf shot. I mean, I don't know how revolutionary this idea is, but apparently it is. The golf shot consists of a clear spherical glass resembling a golf ball, meticulously crafted to reflect the dimpled surface of an actual golf ball. The glass is designed to hold approximately 50 milliliters of alcohol, such as tequila or other spirits, providing a novel and sophisticated drinking experience. Okay, so apparently this is like a big deal, this idea. And he shared his idea with one of Katie's business partners. And now he is claiming that Katie's business partner, who I believe is named George, was very interested in the idea and like wanted to go with it. And he claims that George and Dolores, so Dolores is the other business partner, not Dolores from New Jersey, but she's another business partner, that they conspired with Katie to basically form a competing company that would have the same idea. They would give it like their own name or whatever and trademark it and all that. But basically they stole the idea. Okay. And they believed that they could be more successful with it, like doing it with Katie, because she was going to be going on the Real Housewives of Orange County. So this lawsuit was just filed on July 31st. So this is a pretty recent thing. And yeah, so she's going to be on the show and I guess promoting it. And I guess he's saying like, they totally stole my idea. And now she's going on the show and promoting it, and they're going to make money off of it. And they conspired behind my back. So we will see what happens with that. But welcome to Housewives, Katie. And listen, I'm sure Heather Dubrow is somewhere, you know, high up in the sky overlooking her house next to Drake's, you know, drinking champagne in a fur coat, laughing. That is probably what she's doing right now, laughing like an evil rich person laugh. All right. So I guess Katie's got a storyline maybe for next season. So maybe we're going to be seeing her again. All right. So the other OC news is that basically Tamra was on the Reality Life podcast, and she said that really the issues between John Jansen and Shannon were for the most part Shannon's issues. Okay, so if you thought that Tamra, if you didn't already think Tamra was terrible, here's some more reasons to think so. So Tamra basically says that Shannon was the issue in the relationship, and that John would be like trying to calm her down and like trying to do this and trying to do that. And Shannon would keep going, and like, you know, she'd be the reasons that the fights would keep going. Listen, I am not like some delusional person who thinks that like Shannon and John, you know, that Shannon was like this like sweet, innocent, you know, victim in the whole relationship, and that she never did anything wrong. Shannon is a lot. Okay. She's a lot. I could see Shannon being high maintenance, hard to handle. I could see her getting drunk and messy and getting into drunken fights and causing like all of that. I can see that Shannon will not let things go. Like, I'm sure she started a lot of the fights. I'm sure she ended a lot of them. But I also don't think that John is innocent, and I still think he's a user, and I still think he took advantage, and I still think that the way, if he had just broken up with Shannon and just like gone away, that would be one thing, but that's not what he's doing. He's breaking up with her, and then he's trying to like pour salt on the wound, with the lawsuit, with like giving Alexis screenshots, with like, you know, like, and I really think he is like conspiring with Alexis to like get her on the show, ruin Shannon's reputation. Like, he's just, he's a little too active. You know what I mean? And he's not a housewife. That's what makes it so like, So do I think Shannon is 100% or was in their relationship? No, but like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They both had a fault in that, but now they're broken up. Okay. So now what matters is how they're handling the breakup. And he's, to me, he's the one who is being a POS in this case. Okay. And Tamara is even worse because now like Tamara's trying to make it about like one of them was right, one of them was wrong, 100%. And like Tamara, I don't know what universe Tamara's been living in. It's going to take a lot, you know, to get the audience to take the man's side, especially a man that like we don't really know. We've only heard negative things about. And then we also have people like Emily, who's like co-signing that he's a douche. And Emily's not like, you know, like she's fine with Shannon, but she's not like a huge Shannon ass kisser or anything. Like, I take her word. Like, Emily saying he's a douche to me means a lot. And on top of it, his actions show us that he is definitely also the problem. Okay. And to me, he might be slightly more the problem because I think he is the type who takes advantage of emotionally broken women who have money or fame. So there's that, Tamara. So I don't know what planet Tamara's living on. I mean, Tamara's just living on like the villain. You know, we need like a planet for villains, housewives, villains. Tamara's up there. She's the queen. Okay. So the way she handled that alcoholism discussion last episode was disgusting, by the way. Heather Dubrow also in the after show made a comment about Katie having super fan behavior. Heather also kind of, you know, made a comment of like, I don't know her when she was talking about Katie, like, you know, if she knew her from before. I do think she knew who she was, but I think that Heather probably only knew who she was once she needed to know who she was, as in like she found out she was being cast for the show and then, okay, now I'm going to pay attention to who she was. Do I believe Katie that Heather maybe like wouldn't have given her the time of day in the past or before she was cast on the show or whatever? Yeah, absolutely. I believe that. That's just makes complete sense with who Heather is. That's like one of the reasons she's on this show. Okay, let's talk about some Real Housewives of Atlanta news. So this is pretty fresh, but Marlo did a live, I think it was on Instagram, I think, and basically says that, you know, due to Kenya, basically Kenya was one of the people that was against her not coming back to RHOA, which are we surprised by that? No, they like hated each other. And then Marlo made a comment saying, quote, I just feel like God don't play about his people and what goes around comes around. When you make your bed, you got to lay in it. So she's obviously referring to Kenya being fired or being, you know, let go from Real Housewives of Atlanta, whatever the case is, however you want to phrase that. So, you know, she's obviously saying that, you know, the reason I'm not on the show is because of her. But now guess what? She's not on the show either. And I guess I could see that Marlo might think she has a better chance of getting back on the show too, you know, without Candy and Kenya there. Not that Candy was kind of anti-Marlo, I guess. Listen, I've already forgotten like why I was annoyed with Marlo. I wouldn't mind Marlo back in a friend of role. Like, she really did her best. She is like a Vicky Gunvalson in a friend of role. They're just better in a friend of role. She's nothing like Vicky Gunvalson, by the way. Don't take that out of context. I just mean that they are better as friend ofs than as main cast members. And if you try to make them main cast members, you're like, oh yeah, it's a bit much, you know? So like, don't get me wrong. Vicky was a good main cast member until she wasn't, but I could really see Marlo maybe thriving as a friend of with the current cast that they have going right now, like Phaedra, Portia, all that, because we need a Marlo as a friend of with that cast, especially Drew, all of them, because we have a cast of liars now. I'm not saying I don't like them or anything, but like Portia likes to hide things and she does lie. Okay. Phaedra definitely lies. Drew definitely lies. And listen, I love Drew. Like I am like a Drew stan, but Drew lies. Okay. That's kind of why I like her, because I think it's entertaining because she's so bad at it. She gets caught and it's hilarious. We need people like Marlo, though, to call them out on it. They're all great housewives, but they need somebody to light a fire under them and call them on their shit. So, yeah, I don't know why I got into this whole Marlo thing just from this, but I'm like, can we bring Marlo back as a friend of now? Now, the other thing that came up recently was Mark Daly, as in Kenya's horrible ex-husband, went on like an Instagram live or whatever and basically said that Andy Cohen did Kenya dirty and called Andy the snake in chief. Okay. This is just weird to me because this guy doesn't usually say things about the show or like, you know, he's always been like kind of like reluctant to like talk about the show. He, like, when he was on the show, it was clear that he thought the show is stupid, Housewives is stupid, he's above it. Like, he always had that kind of attitude. He also was always, like, he wasn't, I don't know, he didn't seem like a ride or die for his wife. Like, he was a terrible husband. I feel like he, if anything, didn't take Kenya's side when he should have. And now it's, like, all these years after the divorce and he's speaking up now? Like, and I thought they had like a bad kind of ex relationship. Like, I didn't think they were amicable or anything. Who knows? Maybe they are. But some people also commented that he seemed a little off in the video. You know, just like maybe he was on something or drunk or something. I don't know. But, you know, I guess anything's possible. But that maybe that's why he was kind of so like loose lips about it. I mean, and maybe he's mad because maybe that's impacting how much money. I don't know. I don't know if he got a settlement or if he got any sort of like money from Kenya after the show was over. I got the impression that she has more money than him. Maybe it's affecting his checkbook in some way. I have no idea. But those are all just me guessing why Mark Daly is just randomly commenting on Bravo news all of a sudden, because it's so odd. Okay, so let's talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey, because they had their, you know, reunion, which was really just, it was the worst. It was the worst. I watched it. It was me watching the cast watch the finale. And in turn, it was basically me having to watch the finale again, which, I mean, the finale was good, but like, I didn't want to watch it again. I just watched it last week. And that's what it really was. I was just sitting there watching it again. There was nothing new. See, and this is the problem with doing with the after shows and the rewatches and stuff like that, is you generally, especially in this case, you're not going to get like a lot of new information, which we didn't. Actually, you get more information from an after show because it's longer and it's more comprehensive. This, we didn't get any new information. They all made the same comments that they made to each other, except this time they just didn't get cut off by someone else. Fine. But nobody said any new like points of defense or brought up anything new that like changed, I don't think, that changed my mind or viewers' minds or whatever. And there was a lot of questions in my mind left over from the finale that could have been answered or addressed, that would have worked if we had a mediator, aka a host, you know, kind of like an Andy Cohen sitting there with the two groups to ask follow-up questions. Again, I understand if Andy thinks that it would have gone nowhere because he would have asked questions and everyone would have just screamed over him and it would have gone nowhere. Totally get that. But just say that. Don't try to sell it to us as though, you know, this like sit down at Rails is going to really, you know, give us something new and it's going to be just as good as a reunion or where. It was garbage. It was absolute garbage. I'm watching them watch themselves. They're making, to me, comments that were of no substance. And it was just like, here's my side. Oh, look at her. Ew. She's ugly. She's this. It was just, it was dumb and it was childish and I hated it. That's it. Okay. I hated everything about it. And then the big surprise, Rachel Fuda announces she's pregnant at the end. And I was like literally yawned and turned my TV off. I'm sorry. Her announcing she's pregnant, my level of excitement is like when Teddy Mellencamp announced she was pregnant. I just don't care. Rachel to me is flat and boring and she's like the Teddy Mellencamp of New Jersey. I don't care. She's not interesting. I'm not interested in her family. I like, sorry, I don't know what else to say. Okay. So there's that. Anyways, another thing was that there is like some, you know, people whispering that maybe Teresa has been let go from the show because she posted on her Instagram story. Okay. Sometimes God closes doors because it's time to move forward. He knows you won't move unless your circumstances force you. Trust the transition. God's got you. So I think that is sort of, you know, fueling those rumors. Again, I always say this on this podcast, when it comes to like casting rumors, you got to wait till it's official. Okay. And if, trust me, if Teresa leaves New Jersey Housewives, there's going to be like some sort of People exclusive or something like that. It's not going to be, you know, if she leaves, I really think that probably means that they're going to recast the whole show. Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know. But there's been no official word yet on casting. And it's very, you know, it just ended. Andy said it's going to have a pause. Okay. Which means they're not like rushing to start filming again. So I think it'll be some time before we hear who the new cast will be. Okay. And then there was an exclusive, you know, from like, I don't know, Page Six. Sorry. I do know Page Six. And Rachel Fuda calls out Teresa Giudice's manufactured friendships with co-stars after bombshell RHONJ special. And then Teresa commented on the Page Six post and said, why is she so obsessed with me? And then they started kind of going back and forth in the comments. And then I think Teresa said something along the lines of like, well, you know, why is she talking about my husband? Her husband has a felony. And it's just, it's all like, it's too much. Okay. I think we need, I'm ready for a new cast. I'm just going to say that now. I'm tired. I'm so tired with this cast right now. I mean, even the friends of are at war because now we have news that Jackie and Jen Fessler are no longer doing their podcast, Two Jersey J's. I don't know if anyone was listening to it, but they had a podcast called Two Jersey J's with Jackie and Jen Fessler. And Jackie Goldschneider posted, I am so excited to announce that my new solo podcast, Just Jackie, on iHeartRadio starts today. The first episode delves into what happened with me at the finale and the very loaded topic of forgiveness. And then she talks about her guest, etc. So I guess those two aren't getting along either. And they're on sides. And like, it's just, it's, yeah, it's a lot. So listen, I don't think anyone really, like, I've seen the news floating around about the podcast, but it doesn't seem like anybody cares that much. So another piece of news from New Jersey was that Joe Giudice, he made a comment, you know, a few days ago about Louis and basically said that, you know, Louis's fine. Like, you know, like he doesn't have any issue with him. Like, it wasn't like emphatic. Like, it wasn't like he was like, he's an amazing guy. Like he wasn't like going on and on. And, you know, people kind of took it out of context and ran with it. So then Joe Giudice posted on his Instagram story and wrote, I don't know why everyone has to take everything out of context. I know there are a lot of stories out there saying I commented badly on Louis. I've spent time with Louis and I want to say I would never say anything wrong about him. Louis is a great guy and very good to my daughters. My daughters are very fortunate to have him in their lives. I'm grateful for that. That's all I have to say. Enough with the BS. So I think the original story that he was referring to was that, you know, there was this clip floating around that Louis was saying something like, I encourage like Teresa's daughters to like wear thongs or something like that. I think it was something along those lines. And then somebody asked Joe about it and he was like, yeah, that is a weird thing to say or something like that. So I think that's what he's referring to. Although people have, it has been clarified that I guess Louis was talking about Teresa. Like, I guess he was saying that Teresa said she's fine with them, like posing in, you know, wearing like a thong bathing or whatever. I think it was something like that. And then Joe Giudice commented on that. And again, Joe Giudice, he's just like, he's kind of just like the rest of us. Like, he's just on social media seeing things and, you know, reading them. And somebody probably just like commented and tagged him. And then he has to respond and he doesn't know the whole backstory. And then people, and then kind of like he said, it gets taken out of context. And then, yeah, so that was it. Okay, nothing big. So next, we're going to move to Real Housewives of New York. The new season is going to be premiering on August 1st, season 15. I wish they would just call it season two. Like, I wish, I don't know. I almost wish it was just like a new Roni show and it had its own link. Like, you know, when you go on like Hey You or Peacock or whatever. And I just wish they would, yeah, I don't know. Because it's just, it's so different from the other one, which like, I'm fine with, but I don't know. I just, calling it season 15 is just weird. Okay, but whatever. So in the preview, or in the trailer, if you haven't watched it, there's a part where Uba and Brynn get into it and they're like going back and forth. And Brynn says something along the lines of like you're not really a model, or like you're not like, you know, some supermodel or something. You like model for Dress Barn or something like that. And then Uba was obviously not happy with that comment. So Uba on her Instagram story posted the trailer. And I guess somebody had commented and put you model for Dress Barn with like a crying face. And Uba said, just to clarify, my Dress Barn day rate could easily cover 6 months of her cheap no view apartment rental. XOXO Uba. Okay, thank you, Uba, for a little clap back there. I mean, the Dress Barn was a pretty good line. Even though, you know, I'm not a fan of Brynn, but it was a good line. But Uba's clap back is also good. So we will see how that heats up. I have to thank Uba too, because a lot of these women, like, listen, the trailer was underwhelming. Okay, Uba's giving us a show. Whether I agree with her or not all the time, you know, and whether she's wrong or right is kind of irrelevant. At least she's doing her job and taking it seriously. You know, she's already heating things up on social media with this post. Like, thank you. Okay. Can the rest of you kind of like get to work? Because I don't want to fall asleep again this season, ladies. Okay. And I understand it's season two and it can take a little while to kind of get things going, but you know, let's not take too long because you could also just get canceled. Let's not forget about that. Okay. And I'm sorry, but being pretty and having nice fashion is not going to be enough. It's just not. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Real Housewives of Dubai, which is having a fantastic season. And there's a lot going on social media too. So thank you, Dubai ladies, for keeping us fed right now during this kind of, you know, housewives drought. Okay. So we all know, all of us who watch Dubai, that Sarah and Saba are like, you know, besties. Saba, she hasn't made much of an impact on Dubai this season. I kind of forget she's there a lot. She's kind of boring. She seems like she's like Sarah's little lapdog. So whatever. Anyways, but then Saba comes out and she comes out on social media and makes a formal announcement of her like, quote unquote, breakup with Sarah. It's very strange. So this is what she says. Okay, I'm going to read it. So Saba Yusuf announces amicable parting from Sarah Al-Madani. Okay. And then it says UAE, London, August 13th, 2024. Saba today announced an amicable decision to part ways both personally and professionally with Sarah Al-Madani. The decision follows careful consideration and reflection on recent developments. After thorough deliberation, I have chosen to move forward without Sarah in both my personal and professional endeavors, said Sarah Yusuf. Our paths and values no longer align, and it's in the best interest of both parties to take separate journeys. There is an appreciation for our journey, and now is the time to take different paths. Saba will continue to embrace the importance of authenticity, integrity, and transparency in all aspects of life and business. So I guess she's saying that Sarah is not transparent, does not have integrity, and is not authentic, right? That's the shade, right? Okay, then she says, I wish Sarah all the best in her future endeavors and hope she finds success and fulfillment. Then she says, moving forward, or then it says, even though I'm sure it was written by Saba or Saba was standing over someone's shoulder dictating it, but it says, moving forward, Saba remains committed to her roles as CEO and advisory board member, focusing on her family charity work and maintaining the highest standards of professionalism and authenticity. Okay, CEO and advisory board member of what? What company is she talking about? Like, I'm not trying to do like a page bit right now with the CEO of what, but seriously, CEO of what? Like, what are you? It's funny because like it says nowhere on this amicable parting, whatever release, there's no mention of what company she works for, what she does, what it is. Like, it's just so. And then even at the bottom, it's like management at sabayusuf.com. Okay. Manage, who's, are they managing you? Like, are you the business who needs to be managed? I don't understand what this is. And what business did her and Sarah even have? Maybe I'm not paying close enough attention when I'm watching Dubai, but I don't really have a memory of them like being in business together. I guess, is being on the show together, is that business? I don't know. So this is very weird. It's giving like Cynthia Bailey friendship contract, except it's not like a cute, funny thing that was like on the show. It's like a serious thing and it's off the show. And just, it's also giving thirst. Like, I think she's trying to get on as a full-time housewife. And I hate to agree with Sarah because Sarah says that as a reply to this. But I just don't say, like, what else could it be? Why else do you put out a statement like this? No one gives a shit, honestly. Like, if you've decided, and it, like, you're not going to be friends with her, really no one cares. But here's the other thing. It's like, you, after thorough deliberation, who says that? Who stops being friends with their best friend and then publicly announces and says after thorough deliberation, like, did you talk to Sarah about this? Or did you just like sit there one day and you were like, I don't really like who she is on the show, and after thorough deliberation, I'm going to separate myself. Like, this is so odd. I don't know. It has to be so that she can get herself on the next season. I just can't see what else it is. Okay. So Sarah does respond. Let me just find her response. Okay. Okay. So Sarah posted, ladies, where can I find this book? I want to recommend a read to someone. And then she has like a picture of a book, and the title of the book says, How to Get Season 3 Guide. Okay, so that was what Sarah posted. And then Saba responded and said, if I wanted cheap attention, I would be playing your voice notes, babes, XX. Well, I mean, clearly you do want cheap attention because you just put out a press release that you're like, you're not friends with your friend anymore, which is the wildest thing I've ever seen. And then Sarah says, a statement about a friendship breakup. What are we, in high school? I didn't launch the business publicly with you yet, but sure, it's a CEO thing, I guess. Well, that's what I was going to say, is what is the business? Like, I've never heard that they even had a business. So maybe they were working on something behind closed doors and then they had a falling out, or they disagreed about it. Who knows? Wishing you all the best in everything you do, beautiful. I don't know why this was necessary. We weren't married, but okay. Like, something like that. And then Saba responds and says, since you introduced me on screen as your business partner, I must correct the statement with another statement. And yes, CEOs must give official statements as a duty to their teams and investors. Gaslighting tweet with emojis is for a different type of business person. Because Sarah had like a whole bunch of emojis in her post. Listen, I think if it's just you and Sarah in this business that you haven't announced publicly, you probably could have just like sent an email to the quote unquote investors. I don't even know if I believe that there's investors, but whatever. This is just all wild. Okay. So that's the beef between those two. Now there's also the beef going on with, you know, this whole like voice note gate and like Lisa, I always want to say Lisa because of how it's spelt, but Lisa and Chanel and Stanbury and all that. So Sarah was interviewed by Bryce Sander, and basically in the interview, you know, the video that's on social media, she says that it's clear to her and others that Lisa knew that the voice note was going to be used or played at the dinner, and that like the whole like outrage and Lisa getting mad at Chanel for betraying her friendship was all fake, and that Lisa was just trying to have like a moment on camera, and you know, but really there was no drama to be had because Lisa knew that it was going to come up and it was all like pre-planned, etc. And that the other thing is that you know, according to Sarah, that explains why Chanel was so taken aback and so upset, because Chanel was like, wait a minute, we talked about this before, which that does cannot stand Sarah. I hate Sarah, but okay. It does kind of make sense because there is a clip from last week's episode where Chanel makes reference to a conversation had with Lisa before the dinner. Okay. However, again, there could be more information that would support Lisa's side. So I'm still kind of like undecided about this whole situation. And, you know, Sarah still sucks. But anyways, so that's what Sarah is saying in the interview. And she's saying that, like, you know, Lisa just, again, like wanted to make a moment or whatever. So on this post, so this is like a real video post on Instagram, Sarah comments and writes, "Loving my press tour about you at Lisa Milan. I call it the truth. If I am asked a question, I will answer sweetly. I will answer sweetie, and I'll be honest. Why would I tell you something about Brooks, who was my friend? I don't know you that way. I won't even tell you what I ate for lunch because we don't have a relationship. You left crying because of Talene, and I texted to check on you and tell you how disappointed I was in her back then. Anyways, I guess you don't like the fact that I'm standing up for myself, because last season you didn't stop talking about me in your confessionals and interviews, and I barely even knew your name. Love and light, baby girl. It's not that deep." So she's, yeah. So also in the interview, Sarah makes reference to the fact that, you know, why would she even leave a voice note in the first place to Lisa talking shit about Brooks when she doesn't have that type of relationship with Lisa? And it was clear that she was talking about Talene. And she also says to Bryce Sander in the interview that there was no way she could have been confused about what I was talking about, and this whole like, oh, I was just sending it to Chanel because I wasn't sure, is all bullshit. So there's that as well. Okay, so these are the claims that Sarah is making. Now Lisa responded to Sarah and said, "You're not standing up for yourself. You're spreading lies about me and defaming my character. First it's Lisa abuses Ion, then it's Lisa controls Ion, and now it's Lisa was lying. You were not there before we got to the table to ever repeat that I knew and didn't know. You also have never witnessed me abuse anyone or control them. Speak on your own friendships." And then Sarah responds and says, "Relax," with a bunch of hearts, which is the most annoying response ever. Like, you came in the comments, tagged her, and had this long ass speech, which is like super passive aggressive and annoying, and with the love and light at the end, like, what are you, the next Danielle Staub? And here is the thing that I really hate about this situation is I think that Sarah's probably, I hate saying this, but I think she's right, and I do think that's like what she's saying is probably what happened. But I like Lisa and I don't like Sarah, so I want to be on Lisa's side, but it's just like, it's not adding up. Like, if I go with just like the evidence and what's on the show and what's being said, it's not adding up. Like, it's looking bad for Lisa. I still like Lisa though. Like, okay, so listen, worst case scenario, you know, she was being messy, talking shit with her friend Ion, which again, I still think is fine. And then on the other side, she was maybe trying to cause a scene or create a scene, sorry, for the show, like have a moment, which, I mean, aren't they all kind of doing that in some ways? She's still more authentic to me than Sarah. Okay. I still can't stand Sarah. I stand by that. So the reunion seating has come out, and Chanel and Lisa are first seats on either side, which sucks because that means that this friendship is over. Which again, you know, we've all been hearing that and we saw them have this rift, but then they made up again. But I know something is going to happen and that they're not friends anymore. And it just sucks. It sucks when you have like two besties who are both like fun and go well together. It's never good watching it fall apart. So we have Chanel, Stanbury, and Talene on the left. And then on the right, we have Lisa, Caroline Brooks, and Sarah. So yeah. Oh man. I'm looking, it's a good season though, and I'm very much looking forward to the reunion. All right, everyone. So that is all the Bravo news for this week. And I'm sure there will be some new things coming out. And on that note, I will see you next week. So until then, thank you all for joining me. And you are now in the know for everything Bravo. See you next week.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.